Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, this is Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill here.
Hey, and I'm Rich Reardon.
And Don's on assignment.
Yeah, he is.
Still on assignment.
Down in that balmy weather.
Yeah, down there, well.
What can you say?
Yeah, you know, we can complain about him being down there, but it ain't going to do any good.
No.
No.
Well, hey, Bill.
Yes.
Happy Groundhog's Day.
Hey.
Well, that's a little belated. It was yesterday.
But by golly, the old groundhog come out.
Punxsutawney Phil. He saw his shadow, Bill.
Yeah. That's the bad part
about
it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be six more weeks of winter. That's what I hear.
But, well, yeah, but spring's on the way. You got to think positive.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just right around the corner, you might say.
Yeah.
And we just get in this groove of cold weather, and it's hard to get out.
Yeah, no kidding.
But winter's not quite over yet, but I'm hopeful about things. Soon there'll be some signs of spring, and you know, and being hopeful is a good thing.
Oh, hey, I brought a spring poem, Bill.
Oh, let's hear it, by golly.
You do the second part, I'll do the first. How about that?
Well, we'll try it.
The songbirds will sing as it soon becomes spring.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The humiliating woodpecker will sway while they peck away.
The frogs will be mudding. Red buds will be budding.
They're all friendly spring trees, just like friendly old me.
The creepers will be creeping, and the peepers a peeping.
The ground will be thawing, and the fish tails I'll be jawing.
Up from the knell, the spring smell will all smell.
And down from the sky, a spring rain will drop by.
The creeks will be gushing, mushrooms will be mushing.
And from old Crisco Lake will be fish on my plate.
There you go. That's our spring poem for y'all. Hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, we've tried to bring a little bit of levity to this because I'm tired of winter.
I think we're all tired of winter, but, you know, it's Indiana, and it always happens this time of year. And we still got to talk about the winter weather. I know spring's right around the corner, and hold on to everything, folks. By golly, it'll get here sooner or later. But I think we've got, February here, and I think we're going to have some cold weather.
Well, it's 20 degrees right now and cloudy. And it feels like 10 degrees. That's what I felt when I came in. And, you know, today it's supposed to be about 42 degrees, so it's not too bad today, hopefully, if it gets up that high.
No, it's not, but We got to take a little break here first, so when we come back, we'll talk a little more about some of the old signs and stuff. Of course, they don't all come out in the wash, but most of them are pretty true. So don't go away, folks. Stay right where you're at. Keep that dial right there. Get you a biscuit and gravy, and by golly, we'll be back in the short.
We will, and, you know, it says a little bit of something about flurries today, but it does say 42, so I'm hoping we've missed that snow we were talking about last week. I hope so.
Anyway. Well, we missed most of, or part of it anyway.
All right, so we'll be back. Hang in there. I think Don will be calling in a minute.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is listener-supported WFHB. Bloomington, Bedford, Ellettsville, Nashville, community radio for South Central Indiana. Online at WFHB.org. And again, it's about 20 degrees right now. Feels like about 10. Not too windy. It's about 5.7 miles an hour, and today we'll have a high of 42. So anyway, we'll be back with more Inside Outdoors in just a minute.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
There we go. We're back.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we weren't going too long.
No.
I hope you didn't go back to sleep.
Just long enough to talk about the weather again.
Yeah, well, you know, as we were leaving there, I said we'd talk a little more about it. We had a lot of fog in January, remember that. And, I mean, we had several days. And it looks like that February is going to be a pretty cold month.
I think so.
But, you know, that's not all that bad, really.
Why is that?
Well, the cold weather will and the freeze and the thaws will bring up the sap in the maple trees for maple syrup.
Oh, boy, yeah.
That's one positive we can look at.
Yeah.
And then if it stays cold a majority and not warm up for a week and get 70 degrees and then back down, the fruit trees all trees won't start budding out to where they can get froze back later.
Right.
So there's some positives to that. We got to look at the positive side, and that is the positive side. If it does stay cold, why, we will have maybe some fruit and stuff and trees. Now, last year, if you remember, the maple trees and all started budding out, and then it come that hard freeze, and it just ranked the leaves. The leaves wasn't pretty like they normally are, and so it makes it bad for everybody when it does that. And, of course, that's Mother Nature, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can talk about it all we want to. But there's nothing we can do about it. It's just Indiana and it's Mother Nature, and she'll take care of everything. She always has and always will.
Well, I'm excited about what you said about the maple trees because we've been talking about that, and it's not that hard to make maple syrup if you know what you're doing.
No, you know, I never did make it myself. Now, Grandpa, I know my grandpa, he always made it, and Grandma, He tapped the trees and the maple trees and put a bucket under it and caught the sap, and she boiled it down. And I know we had a neighbor there, and I can remember when I was a little kid, Berthy Adams was her name, Berthy and George Adams, and he always tapped a bunch of maple trees, and she made maple syrup, and I mean it was pure maple syrup.
Right.
There was no additives or nothing to it, and I mean it was just like, eating candy.
Well, I don't know what they sell in the stores nowadays, but I think it's just flavored sugar.
Well, most of it, they put additives to it. They put maple syrup. When you take it off the stove after you've boiled it down,
mm-hmm.
it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this you buy in a jar is all dark, where they've added brown sugar to it.
Uh-huh. Maybe molasses?
Well, molasses maybe, but it's not clear. Mm-hmm. And I know what Berthy always made and Grandma always made was very clear. And but she didn't add brown sugar. She didn't add nothing. I mean, when it come off of the stove and in out of the pan into the jar, it was clear and it was pure.
Well, I think we got Don on the phone, so maybe he can chime in on this. Hey, Don, are you there? Don, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, I am here.
Oh, well, tell us all you know about maple syrup.
Well, first let's mention who this is. This is Don Jordan.
Yes.
And he's on assignment right now and calling in from far away. How's it going down there?
Well, warmer than it is where you are.
That's what we hear.
I hope.
Although it's 59 here this morning.
Well, it's about 20 here.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, and you're supposed to get a bunch of snow this week.
Oh, no, we're not. That's all going north.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
There is the majority of it supposed to go north now. Who knows? But we're supposed to get some later on in the week.
Well, it says
Weather Service has you getting 1 to 3 inches on Thursday.
Yeah, that's correct. They're telling you the truth.
Wait a minute now. I'm looking at the Weather Channel, and they have a different story.
Uh-oh. Well, let's hear your story. Maybe it's better.
They say we're going to get flurries today, but I don't know how that's going to happen at 41 degrees. I guess it could.
It's supposed to be later tonight, isn't it?
It says today, but
today.
Anyway.
Well, okay.
Snow showers tomorrow. It'll be 37 tomorrow.
This right.
We got mostly sunny on Monday and 32. Then we got Tuesday PM snow, nighttime snow, 36. And then back to the clouds and mostly sunny and some freezing rain next Saturday. Basically, I don't see anything else about snow.
So well, I'll tell you what, who do you believe, Weather Channel or the National Weather Service?
I don't believe anybody until I see it floating down in front of my window.
I believe Rich.
That's right. I don't believe either one of them.
Nope.
The Weather Channel always over-predicts, you know, and the Weather Service, they're just kind of hit and miss.
Right.
So.
But they are saying that most of this is going north. Now, we could be in the north. You never know. If it's in the south, we're in the south. If it's in the north, we're in the north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what their earlier forecast and then what Rich said here. I take his weather forecast. I like his.
Yeah, they call it fairy tales.
Let's go with the Rich forecast.
Yeah, we'll call it the Rich forecast.
Well, hey, Don, we were just talking about, and we want to get back to the subject. We have been talking about signs of spring. I don't know if you heard our little poem, but we're talking about, we had enough talking about signs of winter, because we talked about that in the last few weeks.
Yeah, okay. Well, we got the groundhog.
And we just had Groundhog's Day, so I did want to wish you a happy Groundhog's Day. You guys both know it's the only holiday that I actually, consider as holiday throughout the year.
Yes, yes, the whistle pig.
Yeah, and he did give us a bad thing, which is that there will be 6 more weeks of winter. I had a feeling he'd say that. He did. He saw his shadow, so.
Why not? It seems, to my recollection, that we had, like, last year or two, we had a story about Phil being wrong most of the time.
Well.
So we could probably, maybe we can count on it being a little better than Phil has predicted.
I don't know what you're talking about, Willis, because I believe in the groundhog.
Well, believe in the hog.
Yes, I do. I think he's always right.
I think they said he was correct 37% of the time.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good recall. That's what I was thinking. It was around 40%.
Well, he's getting old. I mean, aren't we all about 40% right now?
Yeah.
What are you?
I think I'm a little less than that.
That looked like a young pig to me.
Oh, well. They say he's getting old. So.
Yeah, he's getting old. You can tell by the way his jaws and he's filled out. You know, he's mm-hmm. And then I think one of our local TV stations had had Phyllis.
Right.
Phyllis.
Uh-huh. That's Phil over there and Phyllis over here. I don't know where they ever met or not.
Well, that's an imposter, you know. He's 132 years old, you know.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Didn't we have that guy on that takes care of Phil?
Oh, yeah.
A few years back. Didn't he tell us there had been many Phils?
No, he never said that. He's 132 years old.
All right.
You guys got to quit listening to what these other people say and listen to me. I used to live in Pennsylvania. I know all about it.
Well, I know that you do. I recall that when you called that guy up and we talked to him on the radio. And what was his name?
Boy, I have to think about that for a minute, but it will come to me. See, I'm only at
40%.
That's
right.
Hmm?
One of the guys that wears a top hat.
Oh, yeah.
And do this. Yeah.
Yeah, at Gobbler's Knob, he's one of the inner circle. He's the weatherman. Butch was his name. I can't think of his last name. It'll come to me. Again, I'm only at 40%.
So he gets to interpret whether the groundhog saw his shadow or not.
Well, he's the weatherman, so I guess he probably, yeah, does some of that. But they all have names that are similar.
He didn't drop him this year.
No.
Last year he dropped poor old fella.
He did.
Well, remember when he got bit in the face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me a question about that. I was telling them about this down there, and they wanted to know if a guy had to get a rabies shot after he got bit in the face by the hog.
I doubt it, because that hog has been in the store window all year long, being fed very well. He's not out in the place where he could get sick.
I suspected they didn't give him any rabies shots.
No, no. But anyway, he definitely said, you know, 6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah, well, you know, that'll put us somewhere in March, which is about when winter ends at the end of the start of the high school basketball tournament there in March. So.
Well, and you know, actually, the secret to this whole thing is it is actually 6 more weeks of winter, no matter what you do or how the weather goes.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the kind of the joke of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it is. Of course, it's a joke. But we have had a lot of fun with it over the years. And so those guys in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, we started talking about signs of spring, and we'll get back to that. But we were talking about one of the signs was maple syrup. Do you have any insight on how you make maple syrup, Don?
Well, I can tell you want to tap the trees when the ground is frozen and honeycombed looking.
Uh-huh.
That's the one rule I remember. I used to do this when I lived out in Whitehall.
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to ask you some more about it. We got to take a little quick break here, but
we'll have to figure out how to do that. Man, you may have to make some syrup.
Some Serple?
Yeah, Serple. Yeah, uh-huh.
So we'll be back in a second, though, to talk to you. Hang
away.
On there, Don, okay?
All right, bye.
Hey, we'll be back in just a short, so don't go away, folks. Leave that dial right there and get you another plate of biscuits and gravy, and we'll be right back.
Yes, we will.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB Bloomington at 91.3 FM in Bloomington at 98.1 FM, Nashville at 100.7 FM, Ellettsville at 106.3 FM, and it's community radio for South Central Indiana. Thanks for being here. It is now about 20 degrees, and we're supposed to get some flurries today, but we'll be back with more Inside Outdoors. I'm sure we'll be talking about the weather right now, which when we come back. Okay. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks, and we're going to get a hold of Don where he's on assignment, and we're going to find out a little bit more about this maple syrup deal. I never did make any, but it sounds like he's an old pro at it. So,
are you there, Don?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Well, you tapped those trees in February, right?
Well, it depends on the conditions of the ground when you tap the maple trees, and although it is usually around the same time. I know you know what I'm talking about when I say you look down at the ground, not the snow, look down at the ground, and when you see that, geometric freezing pattern on the ground.
Uh-huh, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, that's the time to tap your maple tree.
Uh-huh.
And I got that from Julia Tom, Dr. Julia Tom, who used to be my neighbor. She's James Alexander Tom's mother, in fact. And she's been gone for quite a while now, but she was wild and woolly and things about the woods. She knew a lot about that.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you got to talk to her, and you probably learned a lot from her.
Oh, she was a great neighbor, yes. Yeah. She was a good old gal and enjoyed knowing her.
Of course.
And anyway, there was a sugar camp, a maple camp out there on Stocksville Road out by Whitehall, the Stocksville Farm, the uh-huh. original one, back in the woods over there. Been on the, I guess, the north side of Stocksville Road. I can't ever get directions figured out there, but. Anyway, they had a real big sugar operation going out there. It's pretty amazing. You got to burn a lot of firewood to make maple syrup the old way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to stockpile your wood and get it ready because, it takes a lot.
Yes, now, it does.
I've heard a little bit about making maple syrup recently. I've been talking about it with a few people, and I didn't realize that when you tap the tree, it just pours out of there. I thought it just dripped real slow and, it'd take a while and you'd have to come back over and over and again. But they said, no, it just pours out.
Well, it depends on, if you tap them, what time you tap them. And they do alter their flow.
Mm-hmm.
After that first initial big flow you get, it does drip out of there and you right. come around and collect it, just
now,
like you said.
Have you made maple syrup before, been through the whole process?
I have made maple syrup out there in Owen County, and we made some sorghum down in Monroe County, actually down there by Bill at a friend of mine's place years ago. And it's quite an – you use the same process basically for making sorghum as you do for making maple syrup. But the interesting thing is the – tray or whatever you call it that you move the syrup through
mm-hmm.
as it cooks. It's a large, I'd say, it can be whatever size you make it, I guess, but at least 10 feet long and about 5 feet wide, and it's got little channels in it, little partitions through it. It looks like a mouse's racetrack, or a maze for a rat.
Okay.
And then as you put the syrup in, and then you get the fire hotter in some parts of the underneath it than others. And then as it starts to thicken at the start of where you pour the syrup in, you move it with these paddles down around these various partitions inside the maple syrup cooker device.
Hmm.
And you move it along by hand until it gets down to the end where it's as thick as you're going to get it. And then it pours out and you jug it.
Now, does that filter it in some way, or what's it for?
What's it for?
I mean, I'm not quite getting the reason that you'd go through all that, other than boiling.
Well, because you got so much syrup that you don't have big enough pot to cook it down in, and that can burn the syrup.
Oh,
so you good. Use these big pans with the partitions in it to control the temperature of the syrup as it moves through the process.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated than you might think.
And Billy, you said at the end it's clear, right?
Yeah, was yours clear when it come out the end?
I've seen it different colors, but yeah, it usually is clear, and that people want to have color in it, so the stuff you buy in the stores usually got some kind of color in it.
Yeah, it's got brown sugar in it.
There you go, brown sugar.
So you don't normally add anything to it? You just take it when it's done, you're done?
That's pure 100% maple syrup.
There you go.
And that's from the sugar maple, so I guess it is sugary.
Yes, it's very sugary. Of course, haven't you ever had maple? You surely have had maple candy.
Oh, yeah.
That's just maple sugar. You just keep cooking that syrup down until it turns into sugar. You know, pretty simple. It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I think I'm going to have to maybe make some pancakes when I get home now that we've been talking
about
it.
Oh, my.
Didn't we talk about pancakes last week, too? You got pancakes on your mind?
No, I don't think so. We didn't talk about it last week. I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe it was waffles, because I had a waffle iron out last week.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's a cousin of the pancake, anyway.
Oh, I like those, boy. They get nice and crisp, right, Bill?
That's right. I like the waffles, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't like pancakes quite as much.
I'll eat them, but... I like the waffles better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now with pancakes, if you got really good maple syrup and you put enough on it so that it just kind of, it's this powder, this pancake goo that's just floating in solid maple syrup. Now that's stuff that I like.
You know, I think we're going to have a rush in Kroger this week because everybody's going to go down and want to buy these things. Can you buy any maple syrup around here that's real?
Sure. Yeah, the stores all carry it.
Mm-hmm. Not the real.
Well, there's a couple places. Yeah, I've seen it. I bought some a few weeks ago. I can't remember where it was exactly, but they're always on the top shelf and of the syrup area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So look up on the top shelf up there. If you're short, you're going to be handicapped, but you'll see. I know that the stores are now carrying, it's the organic foods battle, so I've been seeing maple syrup up on that top shelf, organically grown and collected, et cetera. So, yeah, you can get some. You can get it.
Okay.
Is it clear?
The good stuff is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to look around and see whether I can find some, because I think we need some of that real stuff.
Yeah, they may be putting food coloring in there, like Bill said.
Some of them put brown sugar. I know they do.
Well, the brown sugar is, I think they substitute that for maple.
Yeah.
You know? And they say this brown sugar is actually maple. You know?
Well, you know, Vermont is the syrup capital of the year, world, I guess, is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I bought that Vermont maple syrup, mm-hmm. and it is not pure maple syrup. I don't care what they say. It's not pure.
Hmm.
They have added additives to it, and when you add additives to it, it's not pure.
Hmm.
Well, that's right, and I'm sure they do because, like we said, you know, people expect maple syrup to be a light amber, real light
right.
and color, you know. So if you got clear syrup up there in a bottle, they're going to think, well, that's just nothing but Cairo.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think that there is probably additives, coloring.
Yeah, and then there's some, and you'll taste it real quick if they've scorched it in the pan.
Oh, that's what I was talking about a while ago,
right.
Man. If it's been scorched, you've had it.
You've had it. You might as well throw it away, because, buddy, I mean, it don't take much, and now it'll ruin every bit of it.
Hmm.
Well, that's the trick of making maple syrup, is moving that syrup along through that, like you call it a pan. That's a good word for it. Is moving that stuff through that pan and not burning it. You got to keep on your toes.
Yes, you do. And you got to know what you're doing.
Yes, you do.
An amateur can't do it because he'll scorch it every time.
It takes some practice.
Yep.
It takes a lot of maple sap drippings.
I think ten gallon of water, maple syrup, or maple water makes what a gallon of.
I think it might even be less than
it
that.
May
I think
be less
quart,
than that.
Maybe.
It's less than that. Yeah.
Maybe
10 gallons of syrup.
Yeah, 10 gallon of maple water makes a half a gallon of syrup, apple finished syrup.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It seemed to me like it was more like a pint.
Well, it could. Yeah, I mean, you could be closer to right. It takes a lot because the time that boils down, you don't have anything. It's water, and it just evaporates and boils
right.
down. And
well, how long would it take you to boil up 10 gallons?
All day.
Really?
All night.
So, like a whole day just to make a quart? No wonder it's expensive.
Yeah, because you got to spend all morning getting ready. Then you spend all afternoon and early evening cooking it.
All right.
So,
it takes a long time.
If you got a lot of trees tapped, you're going to have a lot more than 10 gallons of...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You won't be just you boiling down 10 gallons and if you're in the business and got your big vat in there. You'll 40, 50, 60 gallon of water, and then you start, like Don said, the process of moving it through as it cooks down.
Well, through the wonders of technology, I just got a text from somebody, and they say it's about 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup.
Okay, there's your answer. You was right.
So about 40 to 1.
Yeah, well, that sounds a little more like it to me.
Yeah.
Seems like you could never have enough sap moving through there to get it done,
Well, and we want to thank that person, whoever it was, that called, text him in and with that information. By golly, appreciate it.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm hungry now. I'm going to have to think about making some waffles when I get home. But I don't have any of that good stuff. That's the problem.
I don't know anybody around. They used to be, and they may still be a camp down at down below Kirksville.
Well, there was one at Knobbone, wasn't there? Or was that a sorghum?
Well, they had a sorghum over there, and they could have had a maple. I know the sorghum's over there.
Now, what do you do with the sorghum? I don't really know much about that.
Well, same thing.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a
sorghum
different,
molasses.
Different taste. Does it go to molasses?
Yes. It's molasses. Your juice comes out of cane.
Mm-hmm.
And maple syrup, your juice comes out of the tree.
Oh, okay. Now,
Go ahead.
Where do you find sorghum? I don't know how to.
You raise the cane. You raise cane.
You raise cane?
Yeah.
Well, you must have a lot of it, Bill.
We raise cane. No, you put out a, I know the neighbors used to have sorghum mill and stuff.
Right, and that's the extra piece of equipment you got to have. You got to have a sorghum mill to crush it and get juice out of it, you know.
But he would.
That's another step.
Right. He would put out a, I don't know, couple, 3 acres of cane. And then you go in and you strip it and then cut it and haul it into the mill. And back then, of course, this was, I'm talking 60 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, even 70.
Mm-hmm.
They had a horse. And it was a squeezer. I don't know.
A squeezer?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't know what you would call it. It's a squeezer. It, you put the cane in it, and it squeezed all the juice out.
Right.
And you had a pipe that run down into the vat and dumped into the vat. So as you squeezed it out, it ran right into the vat. And there again, like you said, you start at one end. And keep moving it through, and that horse would go around in a circle, turning that squeezer or whatever you want to call it. I don't.
A press, I think you call it.
What do you call it?
A press.
A press, yes. That's a good word for it. But anyway, that's how you get the juice for that. And
well, you raise Cain when you're oppressed, don't you?
Yeah, I raise Cain.
I think you do that all the time.
But, rim shot on that one.
Yeah.
But you do raise Cain.
I do
Cain.
My best.
Yeah.
You do raise Cain. You got to have sorghum plants, actually. You know, they look a lot like corn, but they got that little brown and red tassel on them. They're kind of shorter.
You're right.
You know right away when you see them.
Well, and also, speaking of sweet stuff, I guess we have to bring up bees and honey, because that'll be a sign of spring when the bees come back, don't you think?
Well, the bees are here. They're just hibernated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they start seeing them flying.
When that
around.
Sun starts hitting that old box, them bees will come out of there in swarms.
Now, did you hear about those kids that ruined somebody's... They killed like 500,000
yes.
bees?
Yes.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, tell them about it, Don, if you know about it.
I just read about it someplace, you know. Some teenage vandals killed some guy's beehives out.
Yeah, they poured kerosene or gasoline or something on each of the hives.
And oh, my.
Just mean-natured thing.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Well, they're on their way to being extinct, maybe. And by the way...
What, the teenagers that did it, or...?
No, yeah, well, the bees themselves.
I think they might get a little bit punished by the judge. He wasn't too happy about that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
But beekeeping is a pretty neat thing to do.
Did you see that the government declared the eastern cougar extinct?
Yes, I did. I saw that on your website.
Well, anytime an animal like that gets declared extinct, that's a real low watermark for the human species.
Yes.
And even though we say we may see a cougar around here and there now and then, I've never really been convinced that those are natives, and the government doesn't seem to think there's any left. And there's the Florida panther, of course, and then you got the puma out west.
Right.
Cougar.
And we've had sightings of around here. We've been talked about that for years.
Yes, but like I say, I don't believe any of those are natives. I don't believe they grew up here. I think they've escaped or.
Well, that's. I think you're correct. They've escaped. People's brought them in here as little pups and then turned them loose and.
Well, I've seen the Johnny Cougar running around a couple times.
Don't call me Cougar. He changed his name.
He'll always be Cougar to me. Anyway, I hear the music. It sounds like we got to take another quick break.
Okay.
Well, folks, by golly, if you got any questions or anything, call in or text in. Old Rich, he's got his texting machine over here, and we'll discuss whatever you want to talk about. So anyway, don't go away. By golly, we got to take a little break and pay the bills around here. So we'll be right back in a short. Don't go away.
Don't go away and have those pancakes with your maple syrup if you can. You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College. And we appreciate that. They're in Bloomington here and a proud supporter of community radio. You know what? I need to read the weather. And the weather is basically cold. It is cold. Right now it is 20 degrees. Today it will be a high of 41. And that's about all I can say about that. So we'll be back in just a minute with more Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we wasn't gone too long, I hope. And we was talking about our sponsor, Morrison's, there earlier when we start. Mm-hmm. Claire's had to go buy her a new stove.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to your stove?
Well, we had the folks out there at Morrison's come down and look at it, and of course, all this computerized stuff and electronic stuff and all that, it's going to cost more to get the parts and timers and stuff to put in than it was to buy a new one.
Yeah. Well, that's the way almost not, everything is today.
Yeah. They're all throwaways.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I let her buy a new stove.
Okay.
Because I wanted to eat.
Yeah, eating's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Really not.
Yeah, that's me. Uh-huh. So anyway, they brought her down, and we pulled the old one out.
Do you have a gas stove or an electric?
Electric.
One? Electric. Uh-huh. Okay.
We pulled the old one out. This is a good part about it. Or, well,
you find something under there?
Yeah. We found a lot back there.
Oh, I bet
he
you
pulled
did.
It out, and he went to taking off the cord there, and he said, boy, this thing's been hot. Uh-oh. And I said, oh, is that right? And he said, yeah. He said, look where that's burnt.
Oh, no.
He said, "Warren, it hadn't caught fire." And I said, well, look up there at the top where all them bars are. It was really scorched.
Oh, boy.
And so we was lucky to get it out of there before the house went down.
Thank goodness.
But anyway, they brought her down, set her up, and I had pizza last night off of it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, did.
Clarice makes pizza, huh?
Well, yeah.
From scratch?
Well, yeah, she has made them from scratch.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh? In fact, when we was first married, she did. She was trying to impress me then.
Uh-huh.
And
now she just...
Now she's just, she don't care. She just...
Gets them from the store.
Gets lots of that stuff from the store.
Hey, you know, one thing that we do is once in a while we'll make one with a tortilla. You know what you make a burrito with?
Uh-huh.
You can just make that into one. It's a quick, easy way of doing one. They're pretty good. Like the crispy crust.
Yeah. I'm waiting for them to come out in the stores with these strombolis.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, they got pizzas out now. And we used to sell them frozen pizzas in the store, and I never cared for them because they didn't have nothing on them. And,
well, they're just, it's all crust.
Yeah, and it wasn't nothing on them. And I never did care for them. People liked them. I mean, students and stuff would come in and buy them due to the fact that it was quick. They could throw them in the oven. And
they're used to that.
And yeah. He was used to it and eat and be on the move. But a family, they just wasn't good. But, you know, now there are several companies that's got pizzas.
Yeah.
And these stores, frozen pizzas, right. That are excellent.
Yeah.
Now, we was talking about making them from scratch. This one we had last night wasn't from scratch. But we did add some sausage and cheese to it because they normally don't put enough sausage to suit me.
Right.
And I like a lot of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put some on there just to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you talk about good.
Yeah.
And you can get them pizzas on sale for $2.99.
Yeah.
And then another dollar, a dollar and a half worth of sausage and cheese sprinkled on top.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a $15 pizza.
Mm. Well, you know, it's funny you bring this up because I was in a store the other day and a lady was buying some naan. You know what naan is?
Naan what?
Apparently not. Naan is a Indian bread.
Indian bread.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I've had it at Indian restaurants before. It's kind of like a pizza crust, you know. They put butter on it and garlic and whatever, and then you have it with your meal. But you can buy it in the store, and she said she made pizza with it. And I thought that might be a really good thing to try. It was that naan bread. It's N-A-A-N. So anybody out there?
How would you make pizza?
Well, it's just a big old hunk of bread. I mean, it's flat bread, you know, and so you just basically put your ingredients on it.
Cut it in half or something, maybe?
Well, depending on how big the thing is, and then you make yourself put some... Now, you don't want to put too much sauce on there. I think if people put too much sauce on, this is my household's idea of it. It gets soggy.
Oh, yeah, true.
So you don't really want too much sauce, but then you want to get your...
You want to get enough on it to taste it.
I like some vegetables on there, too.
I do, too.
I like onions and mushrooms and all that stuff.
Yeah, some mango on there.
Mango.
Hot pepper.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah.
Hot peppers on there and...
All that.
A few mango peppers and...
Now, do you like the Hawaiian pineapple version?
Not really. I like pineapple, but not on a pizza.
Okay. Don, what's your ideas on this?
My idea is that I wanted to talk about some outdoor kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, we'll get to that. We're hungry right now.
Yeah, we started thinking about food with that maple syrup talk.
We got the pancakes and all that crap, and now we're on pizzas. But anyway, yeah.
We were talking about cougars. Was that all? Did we get through all that, Don?
Yeah, we got through the cougars. But Chuck, I got some items that probably, if anybody who's a hunter or fisherman, I'd probably be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. We got... reserved wild turkey hunt applications being accepted.
Oh, yeah?
Right. So
now, is that the wild turkey you buy in the store in a bottle?
Kind you get at these reserved hunts.
Oh, okay.
Which are coming right up. That's, let's see. We got it's practically all the state properties, okay? Everything from Atterbury to Deer Creek to Glendale, you know, the places, the fish and wildlife areas that you don't usually get to hunt, or only at certain times do you get to hunt them. So anyway, hunters can apply online now for reserved turkey hunt by visiting hunting.in.gov and click reserved hunt info link. You got that?
Yeah.
Hunting.in.gov. Okay, that's where you can sign up for these reserved turkey hunts. And if you don't have private land to hunt on, these places offer good public hunting opportunities. So the application period ends March 19th. So you got a little time, but I wouldn't wait. Okay, no late entries accepted.
Now, does this have to happen during the spring season?
Pardon me?
Does this have to happen during the spring season, or is this about private land hunting where you can do it kind of whenever?
Well, I've got the dates right here. The end of the application is March 19th, and you need a hunting license. These are all on state lands, of course.
Right.
And then there's a computerized random drawing of your entry. Within sometime around the end of March.
Okay.
And all the successful applicants will be emailed. Now, these hunts take place beginning April the 25th.
Right.
Okay. All around the state. And they only last for 25th to 27th, 28th to the 30th. Then we got some in May.
Yeah, the spring season goes to May 13th.
Right. Well, these are the reserved hunts, which are different than the regular seasonal hunts, in that you're on these fish and wildlife areas that you're not going to get to hunt otherwise, okay?
So you have to have a separate turkey hunting license for these, or can you just own a regular one?
Yes, you have to have a regular hunting license.
Okay.
Okay. So that was number one. Number two is today, from 9 to 11... there's a photo workshop over at Goose Pond. That's on Indiana 59 over by Linton.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a headquarters building there. You'll see it when you drive into the place and or drive down 59 there. And that might be worthwhile, although it's going to be pretty chilly out there today. Make sure to, if you do decide to go over there, your chances of seeing a crane are probably pretty good, considering I don't believe a lot of them, I don't believe they all left this year. So anyway, Goose Pond. Next, we got, there's firewood permits available for Shackamack State Park. And I know that's, we got some people in our listening area that would be around Shackamack. Mm-hmm. So they've logged, of course, there, and they're offering firewood permits in the state park. So you can sign up for those also online. What else we got? One other thing. Oh, you remember last year when we were talking about this hunting community partner slot for DNR community hunting program? Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
Well, guys, they're apparently still have this, and they're trying to get more people to sign up for it. And the whole idea of this is they get some local person to identify places in urban and suburban areas where the people that live there would be interested in having the number of deer reduced, right? So then this local guy, he gets with the DNR, and they try to set up a hunting program for that specific area, right? Which, it might be a good idea. At least the community would be involved in it.
Right.
That's another one at, that's at wildlife.in.gov /9420 HTM. Okay?
All right.
Gotcha.
And as far as the outdoor news, I believe that's about all I really wanted to pass along. I thought, there's a Civil War reenactment at Spring Mill.
Down Spring Mill.
Yeah, right. Now, that's not very outdoorsy, but I don't remember him ever having one of these down there before.
No, I didn't either.
If I can, maybe I'd mention this first. Avian cholera has been found in wild waterfowl in Gibson County. That's western Gibson County, but conducted by the U.S. Geological Survey's National Wildlife Health Center. They say cholera is common among North American waterfowl. Gibson County detection is the first time the disease has been documented in wild birds in Indiana. Snow geese mostly have been found dead since the beginning of December.
Well, I'll be.
It says that tens of thousands of waterfowl spend winter in this part of the state, so the increase of disease appears very low. Avian cholera, minimal risk to humans or to the commercial poultry industry, but is highly contagious among wild birds, especially waterfowl.
Oh. Hmm.
So beware of that, and don't carry any wild birds out of Gibson County.
Right.
Let's do bird-to-bird contact. To help prevent the spread of avian cholera, waterfowl hunters in southwest Indiana should consider cleaning and disinfecting their gear, including waders and decoys, using warm, soapy water. Should use gloves when cleaning the birds. Avoid eating, drinking, or smoking during cleaning. Thoroughly wash hands. Okay.
All right.
There we go. That was probably pretty important to pass along that.
Yeah, that's an important thing to do is, in general, wash your hands. We always talk about safety when you're dealing with, any kind of meat.
Yes, and especially if you have possible birds with cholera.
Yeah.
Don't want to spread that around.
That's kind of, that cholera is kind of like the human flu going around now.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. You want to take care. They're telling you to wash your hands every place you go. And,
right.
Wipe that cart off with the disinfecting thing at the big box store. And a lot of people wearing masks like you see the Japanese doing all the time.
Yeah, I seen some yesterday.
Oh, did you? Well,
yeah, they're still there. It's not peaked yet, they say.
Well, Joe's still trying to recover from hers. She's going on 4 weeks now.
I'll tell you, boys, it's been terrible.
Yeah,
it really, it's dangerous. There was another child died down here in South Florida yesterday. So it's pretty serious. And there's parts of the country that are seeing 1,000 cases a day at the ER.
Yeah.
So it's dangerous. It's not. This isn't the Spanish flu, thank goodness.
No, it's not nothing to lay back and sneeze about. You better be taking care of yourself now.
Yes, right. Take care.
It's dangerous.
Right. I wouldn't want to go around. You know, if people stay out of big crowds usually. You don't want to go. Maybe I hate to warn people away from big events, but. Gee, just think about the Super Bowl this Sunday. That's what
I was thinking. What about it? My Lord.
Yes, that's an indoor stadium. I mean, it's just everything set up there for a big explosion of flu.
Yep.
And they warned everybody to wear masks for that. So.
And if you don't have it, stay away from doctors' offices and hospitals.
There you go.
Well, a friend of mine went to Ireland. And back, and came back with the flu or some kind of sickness. So, you know, sitting in those airplanes is another place you can get them.
Yes, airplanes and concerts and basketball games.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, any place where there's a crowd, stay out of.
Yes.
Well, speaking of the Super Bowl, since we're almost out of time here, I just want to say my prediction, because I am from Pennsylvania, will be that the Eagles will win, and the poor people up there in New Hampshire with their maple syrup, that's all they're going to have is maple syrup when they're done. That's my prediction.
That's your prediction?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope you're right.
I do, too. I don't like that New England team.
I'm for Pennsylvania myself.
Yeah.
Will Bond predicted a big win for New England. You know, he's pretty much the guy I watch.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen. We'll see. We'll talk about it next week. I may be hanging my head. But I don't think so. I think the Eagles are going to take it. So.
I hope you're right.
Well, anyway, we're out of time, so thanks for calling in, Don. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
And we want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning, and we hope we've been a little benefit to you and you've enjoyed listening to us. And thanks for the text message from whoever sent that one in. We appreciate that. By golly, stay warm, and hopefully it warms up here. Spring's not far off, so just hold in there, and we'll be back with something next week. We don't know what, but by golly, we'll find something to talk about.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.